Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. Yeah. How are you, Josh?
I'm good. I am. I'm excited that Leicester has won the league. I was kind of secretly, much like you, I think, hoping that they would win it in dramatic fashion with like a Jamie Vardy hat trick.
Versus
Everton this weekend.
It was just disappointing to have to follow it all on social media. What you really want is to see how those players, after the long season, just the expressions on their faces, the very moment that it happens. Now, yeah, we had the Christian Fuchs vine on Twitter, but to see him win it on the field would just be that much more, you know, exciting.
Yeah.
Emotional. Powerful.
They do have, you know, so this Saturday they've got the afternoon match. They're the, or I guess it's the evening match in the UK. So they're on at 12:30 here. And so that'll be Leicester Everton. That'll be a fun match. So there'll probably be a lot of pomp with that. You know, they'll roll out the carpet and all that stuff. I don't know if they'll do it before the match or afterwards. I guess you'll probably do it before.
Yeah.
So you'll get to see a bit of a celebration.
Yeah, I imagine. So I'm actually even more excited now for the Chelsea game. Assuming it'll be a pretty convivial atmosphere at Stamford Bridge. You know, based on Chelsea's performance against Spurs today, we're recording it just after the Spurs-Chelsea game. Like, Chelsea were very happy to hand the league to Leicester. And I'm sure Leicester was very, very happy to accept.
There was a great moment right at the end of that match where Willian had a free kick in a classic Willian spot, at least first half of the season, Willian. And he like lines up to take the free kick, and then he just kicks it off to the left. It just rolls over to Hazard, and he's like, I don't even want to take the slightest chance that we would give you guys the ball back and give you a chance to score in this game. We would rather draw. Like, what were the it was in the 6.5 minutes of 6 minutes extra time. Like, why not just go for the win there? They're like, no, it's more important that Spurs don't win.
And at that point, Spurs had already lost their collective minds. Like, they didn't even know what planet they were on at that point, just covered in red mist.
If that Eric Dyer tackle happens in like the 85th minute or something like that, then it is clearly a red card. Because it happened in the 95th minute, and then there was another foul like right afterwards. I think it was just like whatever.
Yeah, Klattenberg was just like, it's just boys playing at that point. But that was very scary to me because I have Eric Dyer in my team and he was going to get auto subbed. And had he actually got that red card, then I lose my head-to-head to you this week.
Yeah.
So that was rather dramatic.
Not that it matters, but yeah, it was. I thought that myself, though. So in the end, I guess I had an okay week points-wise. Okay being like slightly above average, I would say, but not very much above average. I finished on 47 points. I only made one transfer this week. I just couldn't really figure out what I wanted the transfer to be.
I was surprised. I had anticipated you maybe you were sowing the seeds of burning points, but I was surprised you stuck with one.
Well, I don't know what I would have done. There was no move I had planned that would have worked out any better. You know, I mean, I guess I could have brought in Payet for Josh King or something like that. I mean, I would have.
Did you afford that?
No, I couldn't have afforded it anyway. So there was just no move. You know, sometimes it's just, and I'm playing for so little right now that, you know, if this were week 20, I'm sure I would like be, you know, I'd be all over my fantasy football scout membership and you know, trying to do my 6 week rankings and figure out what the hell I can do. But in this case, I just said, I made one. And actually it was a good transfer too. So I brought in Aaron Cresswell, dropped Sacco, and so that was actually a move I made on, I think I made that on Saturday or Sunday of last week. I almost never make an early transfer, but I figured his price was going to drop pretty dramatically, pretty fast, and Cresswell is about as stable as you're going to get from a defender.
Yeah, you're set up for the double game week as well, which I got two home matches. Swansea and Man United. So that's a good pickup.
Yeah, there were no explosive play, you know, because the thing is, any transfer you made, you wanted to be a player who was going to be playing twice, you know, in game week 37, and there just wasn't a great option there. I guess I might have brought in a Chelsea player if I was going to bring somebody in, but it certainly wouldn't have been Eden Hazard. I didn't have that kind of money. So I don't know. What about you? You only made one transfer, right? You brought in Payet?
I did. I did. I brought in Dimitri Payet, and I dropped Kevin De Bruyne, who everyone rightfully predicted that he would be set. He didn't even make the 18, so he's clearly being rested for Champions League, and he's just been a rotation risk for a while now, so I was pretty eager to get rid of him. So Payet comes in, and now I've got Lanzini and Payet in the midfield that sets me up for the double game week. The question
Payet does. Lanzini sucks now.
Yeah,
he was good for like 2 weeks. Yeah, I have Lanzini too.
Lanzini clearly had his moment in the sun. So we'll see if he survives the summer transfer window. I was thinking about getting rid of Shane Long, but then I thought, you know, it's a burning 4 points, a roll of the dice to see if I can get a goal out of another striker, and. You knew that City was going to really rotate, and their defense.
Our friend Sushant Garg asked on Twitter. We'll just move this question up. He says, "Where has Pelé disappeared to?"
It's a very good question. He's like hanging out with Carmen Sandiego somewhere, I think.
He is injured, isn't he? I thought there was some sort of injury with Pelé.
To be honest,
did he go back to Brazil to hang out with his father?
Sure.
Pele Sr.
Practicing his wonderful bicycle kicks. I don't know. I feel like there was an injury in the mix there, and then there was some tactical issue. Because things are clearly really working out with Tadic and Shane Long and Mane now is back home.
Because I was thinking, I was actually watching that Southampton game when he scored that goal. And I was thinking, I wonder if that is your luckiest transfer this year. I mean, I'm not saying that it was... Luck is the residue of design, as they say. So, I mean, I think it was a very good transfer, but it worked out extraordinarily well, right? 18 points in two games, is it?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Two goals and two assists. And the problem with Shane Long is he apparently can't attract bonus points to save his life.
I couldn't believe it. I actually looked back. He didn't pick up one bonus point when he had a goal and two assists. That is extraordinary.
Mane was clearly like, he put his head down and he's like, I'm just going to destroy this game. There were two of Mane's goals beautifully taken, and he well deserved that hat trick. Great player, don't get me wrong. But Shane Long is just hanging out wide open on the other side of the field, being like, can you let me have some of the fun, guys? So yeah, I was viewing that through FPL manager colored glasses, obviously.
I guess we all slept on Mane as kind of a differential option. I mean, he has 36 points in the last three game weeks.
Isn't this right around the time that he...
5 goals and 6 bonus points.
That's crazy. Isn't it around this time that he scored that fastest hat trick in EPL history? Right around the time last year?
Yeah, I think it was. It was near the end of the season. I mean, the problem was his fixtures weren't great. I mean, it wasn't... I don't think anyone would have. I mean, okay, the Aston Villa match, yes, which is actually his lowest scoring performance of the three. So he picked up 10 points away to Everton and then 20 at home to Man City, which is, I don't know. It was very improbable. We'll say that much. So I like Mane. I somehow never own him when he's doing well. I mean, I'm looking right now at his. At his stats, you know, he didn't score from game week 11 to game week 31.
Yeah, so he dropped out of the starting 11 too. So I think he just scared off every manager there was.
Maybe he doesn't like cold weather. I mean, it's like from the last time he scored, it was October 25th, and then didn't score in November, December, January, February, and then suddenly March comes around, 2 goals. So yeah, since March 20th, he has 7 goals.
Mane's law states that Sadio Mane will not score in the cold winter months.
I guess so. I'm curious to look back last year and see what he did.
Going back to Shane Long real quick, I have to reconsider this because Shane Long was on the chopping block going into game week 37. I need to swap him out for a double game week striker. But Southampton are now playing against Spurs, and Spurs are totally shell-shocked at this point. I mean, they're professionals. Yeah. They'll probably show up and put in a proper shift on Sunday.
But, yeah, And that was the Spurs match was a great match for somebody like me who doesn't own a Spurs defender, because not only did Chelsea concede a late goal and Leicester won the title, but I think it was every player but two on Spurs.
Yellow cards to Spurs in the match.
Extraordinary. Yeah, extraordinary. So, ownership is like, we're at like, is that in the 50s? It's got to be near it. Let's see.
Who's ownership?
Okay, 40, Alderweireld. Okay, Toby A. Yeah. It's at 42%, which is still, extremely high. So anytime he has a good game, he had a 15-pointer a few weeks ago. It's devastating for my overall rank.
He escaped without a yellow card, though.
He picked up 1 point. I can handle that. Point I can manage.
Those tackles were like, I it's been a long time since I've seen a game like that where I feel like you only see that in international games where teams are like, I just want to get on the plane and go back home and take the rest of the summer off. Spurs just threw in the towel and they were out to just maim people.
Yeah, it was like when Hazard scored, it was like they decided the world was unjust, they couldn't handle the bad luck the gods had shown them. And I don't know. Yeah, it was really I agree. But I think I mean, to be honest, I think that they just got really nervous. And, we saw this. I don't remember did you see the U.S. under 21 playoff?
Against Colombia?
They were trying to make the under 20, the Olympics. The
Olympics, yes, yeah. They had a guy sent off there.
It's under 23, not under 21, but they
get it right.
Yeah, like at the end of that match, like when they kind of knew the game was over, I think there was like two yellow cards and six. No, I think it was two red cards and like four yellow cards, just in the space of like 8 minutes of that game, where they just could not handle. The losing was too much for them.
Yeah, but my boy Emerson Hendeman. Fulham's own scored. Mm-hmm. He assisted on an OG in that game, so I was still a little proud.
Yeah. So
speaking of proud, we got some great celebratory tweets about Leicester City. I mean, let's not make this all about the woeful Spurs performance. But
that's true. All right. So yeah, Trevor Ingerson, a friend of the podcast, friend in real life, says was hoping that they clinch. That I don't know who they is. Do you have any idea who they is?
I don't know, maybe like Middlesbrough?
Yeah, I think he's talking about Burrow. He says, I was hoping that they'd clinch at Chelsea, narrative and all. Still insane that they won. My God, Leicester in the Community Shield. God, is he right?
Oh, man. That's going to be one blockbuster Community Shield at the start of next season.
Yeah, they're one Champions League away win from the World Club Cup, which is the only thing that's higher than the Community Shield. And then there's one more. You want to read that one?
And it's from Lucian, another good friend of the Always Cheating community. Lucian says, Hazard was good for something this year, after all. And that is absolutely right, Lucian. And it was a vintage Hazard goal from 2014-2015. It was fantastic.
It was a beautiful goal. And we were actually talking about that goal before we recorded it. It would have been a great goal even last season. I mean, it was really extra. I mean, the it was so lethal.
He totally worked Eric Dier, and because I was just zeroed in on Dier all game, and Dier totally gave up on him and didn't track Hazard running into the box. And I remember thinking, well, Hazard's running unattended into the box, he'll score, and he did.
It added an interesting, sort of twist. I don't know if you noticed this as well, but for whatever reason, the Always Cheating Twitter feed. It's full of FPL fans and Spurs fans. Like, we have a ton of Spurs fans.
Oh, interesting.
In our feed, for whatever reason. There are a lot of Americans who are Spurs fans, and I think we just followed. There was this moment early on when you're creating a Twitter feed from scratch, and you got to just find some interesting people to start following just to get the ball rolling. Yeah. And despite the fact that I'm an Arsenal fan, I found that there were a lot of great Spurs writers and bloggers, including some of our friends. Our friend Toby is a big Spurs fan too. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting because when Hazard scored, it was a mix of people, sort of bemoaning what was about to happen to Spurs, and then people bemoaning that Hazard finally delivered. Uh-huh. You know, like all the FPL people were like, are you kidding me? You know, like this guy does nothing, and then he scores, you know, two goals away last weekend.
Right,
you know,
and he subbed on for Pedro. He subbed on for Pedro at halftime, who was a popular FPL option going into this week, too, ahead of the double game week. So
yeah, that was
a lot of that's a frightening prospect for some of the FPL managers.
I know. It's a little hard to. Okay. So, what do you think about Eden Hazard? I know we'll get into this more later in a broader sense, but I mean, would you consider bringing in Hazard? Is he a player that you let's say you had the money to do it? You know, you didn't have to burn 8 points or whatever to do, but you could just do it maybe in two moves.
If I had the money going into game week 37, yes, absolutely, I would consider it. And let me tell you why. I think we
please do.
If you go back to the podcast, these many episodes of Always Cheating that we've done, we've discussed Hazard a lot during your famous last gambit before it all went totally to pot for your team.
I mean, Hazard ruined my season. We talked about this in the last week's podcast. He destroyed my team value. I hung on for so long. It was
and I kept ribbing you like he has no form. And this season turned into a classic form over fixtures season.
I didn't hold on long enough. That was the problem. It's like Amazon stock. You just gotta hold forever for years.
Hazard stock is splitting as we speak. It's splitting for whatever team's gonna pick him up in the offseason, I'm sure.
There's no way he's playing for Chelsea next year. I think it's Real Madrid or PSG, one of those teams. No way he's playing for Chelsea.
Yeah,
although would you want to go to PSG? That seems like no fun to me. I mean, PSG, you've won the league by week eight. Right. And so, you know, once week eight's over, you've got your like 18 point lead and you have league matches that don't matter for 30 weeks in a row. I mean, at least Dortmund's good enough this season to make Bayern play until like week 30 or so.
Well, judging by Hazard's form this season, he doesn't seem like the sort of player that plays for the love of the game. So maybe he'd like to play for an assembly line team.
I never thought of him as being a player who didn't care. You know, like he's not like a Hatem Ben Arfa type or something. You know, like I wonder if he just really hated Mourinho. You know, if he just couldn't stand him. You know,
so and if that's the case, then how come it took him? I mean, I guess there are some injuries in there that impacted him, but it's still taken him quite a while.
But I think he was injured for like 10 weeks. Yeah. I mean, I think it was really a long time.
Well, so anyway, to just answer your question, I would definitely consider bringing him in now because it appears that he does have that form again. Mm-hmm. So there is a justification to do it.
I mean, he's an interesting captain choice, I think, for the double game week. I mean, that would be like I don't know if I have the
wherewithal. Too far for me.
I might throw up if I captained Hazard game week 37. It'd be especially if he didn't deliver. You know, after all the pain he brought me. So maybe it's time for him to reward me, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, perhaps. I mean, if you still had your triple captain, like what a wild punt.
Well, let's save the triple captain for a little while. So I guess I do want to talk about that a little bit more. Just one last thing in the kind of house cleaning, Hail Shooter Super League. Obviously the scores have not been updated yet. So, we'll update those tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. But I'm very curious. I don't know if there's any early indication, Brandon. I don't know if you've seen the scores yet.
Yeah, I've seen. I mean, we do have some new entrants in the top 10 even before it's updated. I see Lloyd Parker from the Fantasy Football Surgery podcast, I think.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so welcome Lloyd to the Super League. And Lucian, who just got a shout out. Lucian's going 100% on Always Cheating right now. He's now in the top 10 of the Super League. He's getting Twitter mentions.
He's up to 11. Yep.
He still owes me money. And Sean Kaminsky he's back. He's rising up the ranks here too. But we've seen him before in the top 10.
Yep. Well, good. So we'll update everyone on their scores tomorrow. So this does not include us though, Brandon. Even once the scores get updated, we're still. I know. I'm holding out hope for next year. I mean, I can't finish this far down in my own league next year. It's a little too shameful. I don't even need top 10. Top 50 would be fine. You know, if I'm in the top 50 at the end of the season, very competitive league, very smart managers, that to me is a mark of success. It's sort of like you always want to finish in the top million. You know, like that's your goal. It's always, you know, you always struggle, and then at the last, you get that last push, and you usually crawl into the top million.
You know what? I just love middle class living. That's what I'm all about. And I'm on the verge of breaking into the top 150 in the Hail Cheaters Super League. So
hey, there you go. And you're beating me this year, for now. Anyways, we'll see how my Hazard captaincy goes.
Yeah. It could all change in 37, as we'll talk about right now. Right.
All right, so we got only two sections for this episode, or two areas. We're going to go through a few key topics, and then we're going to answer Twitter and Facebook questions. Ah, but Brandon, we've also buried some Facebook and Twitter questions in the key topics.
Oh, it's really, oh my God. Yeah. It's a wild marvel, ride.
It's a marvel of planning on our part.
Yeah, Google right, Docs. So. We should definitely invest.
Okay, so the first key topic is bad captains times two. Nitin Marani wrote to us, or Mariani.
By the way, bad captains times two sounds like a Jean-Claude Van Damme action movie.
Yeah, it's true. I liked his question a lot, though. He said, even Philip screws haven't screwed us as much as the Aguero and Santos captaincies did this game week. Sob, sob. And then there were a few nice emojis that came with that.
A nice name.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, the second week in a row where I flirted with a more creative option. In this case, I was like, you know, I really fancy Harry Kane to score. And I know this sounds like, you know, everyone looks at their team after the fact, and there was one time when they thought about, you know, picking the one player, picked up some points for them.
Yeah, well, I think you said it best. Like when a really hardcore fantasy manager looks at his team, you go through every single scenario in your mind, just as terms of the thought process. So when it comes time to look back, of course you thought of it because you thought of everything.
But Sanchez at home to Norwich. I mean, given what he'd done in those two home fixtures in the double game week. Given that I'm basically playing for overall rank at this point, and I'm not playing for anything in any of the other in my mini leagues or head to head or anything.
It's all for pride at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't want. Basically, I was afraid that he would go for, you know, two or three goals, and you know, I'd shoot down 100,000 spots in the rankings. Right. And yeah, so in the end, it didn't really matter that much. I mean, Harry Kane picked up 6 points. 6 points bold. I lost 3 points as a result.
Yeah, Captain Sanchez as well. And like you just couldn't argue with the Sanchez logic. It was less a group think sort of a thing, and it was more just common sense.
Yeah, I agree. Although I do think that it's definitely a problem that we've diagnosed a lot on this podcast, and it's sort of even once you diagnose the problem, it's still hard to stop yourself from doing it, you know, which is basically you say to yourself, I want, and this actually wasn't the case with me this week, but I think that Nitin maybe sort of getting to this, which is that, you know, you want to pick a creative choice. You want to really have an actual differential, right? I mean, like picking a differential does not mean that there are eight good captain choices and you pick like the third or fourth. It means like everyone is going one way. And you go the other way.
Right. Yeah.
And this is a game week where everyone was going Sanchez.
To put it in terms Nitin can understand, everyone was going Phillips when you should have gone Flathead.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I just realized, by the way, overall ranks are going to be kind of screwy because I think I think in the FPL as a whole, a lot of, like, I think like 20% of all managers captained Aguero. So a lot of them are going to be getting double scores on their backup, which is probably going to be Alexis Sanchez or possibly even Harry Kane. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
That's true.
I know, because we're recording this too early for any of the actual ranking points to be updated. I think that, you know, moving forward, like next year, though, I really want to – I have 2 points here. One is have the guts to actually captain differentials, because in the end, you're not really going to lose that much. You know, it's you get caught up in this idea that it's going to be an extreme scenario where you know, if you don't captain the consensus choice, they're going to be Aguero at home to Newcastle in game week 8, right? They're going to score 5 goals and everyone's going to captain them. And some people are going to triple captain them and like your season is over. But most of the time it doesn't work out that way.
Just and look at the most recent double game week where you were triple C on Aguero and it looked like you had pulled off this epic coup.
Yeah, I know.
It all sort of evened out when Sanchez got his brace, which, you know, very disappointing, but it proves your point.
It does. Yeah, exactly. So and I actually think double game weeks are not always the best choice, I'm sort of talking myself in circles here now.
That's good. Pretend you're on a game show. You're talking through your answer before you well, lock it in.
Because we're going to be getting to captaincy options in a minute here. And I mean, at this point, your game week 37 captains are – well, okay, let's hold off on the captain thing for a minute. Let's go on to the next key topic, and we'll get back to this in a bit. My larger point is twofold. One, pick a real differential if you're going to pick a differential. And don't be afraid to pick one because usually it's not going to bite you in the ass that much.
Right.
And my second point was no, that's good. 1 point's fine.
That's plenty. That'll do.
All right. My second key topic, which we've already talked about a little bit, is Chelsea assets.
Okay.
And okay, so we talked about Hazard a little bit. Are you looking at any players on Chelsea? Offense, defense, keeper?
I'm not, and maybe that's just because they've been blacklisted largely from my team. It might be a more emotional thing.
Right. Azpilicueta did not do very well for you.
Well, you know, I got an assist from him when the BK Broilers needed it most. I think I got that assist, but not much else. But they're playing away in both matches. One to Sunderland, where Sunderland are the age old fighting for their lives, trying to avoid relegation, and then they're away at Liverpool for their subsequent fixture. And yeah, it's hard to say what sort of Liverpool team is going to show up, just as it's hard to say what Chelsea team is going to show up. So anyway, two away fixtures. It doesn't warm me much to their defense.
Yeah.
Their midfield, the rotation is pretty insane, but Willian seems to be the most consistent guy there. For a while, I was thinking Pedro was the guy, but him getting subbed at halftime, it's worrying. I don't know what the tactical reason would be. Maybe he had a little knock and couldn't continue to play, or if he just wasn't on it today for any reason.
Yeah,
but I
don't know either.
Maybe not messing around with Pedro, because he is a little streaky. And while Willian he's not produced too many goods of late, he's probably their most consistent midfielder. And Costa is just... No, since he's come back, he hasn't done it at all. Everyone sort of like picked him as a striker differential.
And, it's so tempting.
He wasn't even that mixed up in all the crazy fighting and arguing and gamesmanship that was happening against Spurs today. Which that's one of the reasons why you would want to pick him up.
Right at the end there, I actually think he avoided a yellow, and I think it looked like he got pretty close to the end. It was like he wanted a yellow as a point of pride. He's like, come on, give me a yellow.
Yeah they're Diego all getting Costa. I want one.
I don't know. I'm thinking about Hazard, as I mentioned.
What about Fabregas? Maybe Williams. I mean, he's coming to a purple patch of sorts. Maybe like a lavender patch.
He is. I mean, Fabregas is a long-term, steady kind of guy, though. Fabregas is not a – he's not a game week 37 transfer. He might get 7 points. He's no Shane Long. Yeah, I think in game week 37, double game week, nothing to lose, you might as well go for someone who might give you, like, 3 goals or something like that. And I think that you're not going to get that with Fabregas. I mean, maybe he scores you, like, a free kick goal in one of the two game weeks, but maybe he gets an assist. If you told me I was going to get like 14 points out of him, then yeah, obviously, that would be worth it.
You are, but you heard it here.
Yeah. but I could see them conceding goals in both those matches. So you're looking at, 4 points, let's say he gets 1 goal and a bonus point. That's 10. I mean, that's pretty good. I don't know. I'm not really looking at Fabregas. He's too expensive too.
Yeah. Right. What about Costa though?
How do you feel about? I mean, it's tempting just because he's such a differential, and he can score. And but I don't know. I'm looking more like at the Watford, you know, forwards, or maybe an Andy Carroll. All the 5 point something strikers that we're all looking at right now. Jermaine Defoe is someone that's pretty tempting too.
Yeah, Duncan Watmore.
So let's actually – I'm going to jump one of these key questions.
I was talking about that Watmore thing, by the way, just for those listeners out there.
You know, Duncan Watmore is the only player in the English Premier League with a college degree.
What a – true. A smart – he looks like a smart young lad too.
He does. He looks – he's got kind of like a who's that guy? He was in Star Wars, the Irish guy. Donald Gleason.
Yeah, Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah, but do you pronounce it Domhnall, or isn't this another like Owen Egan thing? Eogan. Well,
that's a question for our cultured listeners out there, right. Not for me. Owen, my name is Brandon Kelly doesn't mean I know everything about the country of Ireland.
Owen O'Keefe, please.
I do know that Domhnall Gleeson is a Aston Villa fan.
I think that I don't think you say Domhnall Gleeson's name like it's spelled. I'll just say that much.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So. Captaincy options. We have a question here from Josh Storky, at Josh Stork. He says, I will be triple captain in game week 37. Is Piatt my only choice? Marshall seems to be a punt too far, maybe even someone with only a single game. But the Man City versus Arsenal game means Aguero Sanchez is not likely to do particularly well.
So, yeah, I would agree. I'm a little afraid of – it's just hard to predict that City Arsenal match. So of course then you get a little shy about armbanding one of them. And it's also hard to tell until we've seen the results of the Manchester City Real Madrid match. Mm. You know, Aguero glass legs that he has, maybe he goes down with an injury and that makes our decision done. Or maybe Aguero has a really great game. He gets subbed out in the 85th minute. And he looks good for a start. And I think Arsenal has a good defense, but they're not beyond getting shredded by a guy like Aguero.
I would love to see Man City win that game. I mean, you know, it's 0-0, second leg away to Real, but I do not see it happening. I mean, it's possible. I mean, I guess they just have to draw, right? And they just have to score a goal. So, I mean, it could happen. I mean, we saw Chelsea go in there. Or was that... maybe that was
Barcelona.
When Chelsea, that was Barcelona, right? Yeah.
The great goal by did Fernando Torres score in that there in that game? Ramirez
scored the first goal, and then the Torres scored with like I think it was like an extra time or something like that.
Yeah, right. So yeah, I feel like I want to captain somebody who has a double game week, and that's just sort of going against what we thought we learned from the last round of double game weeks. But
okay, so let's like really take a minute here to consider some captaincy options or triple captaincy options. I don't think it really anyone you'd captain is someone you'd triple captain to. I think, although maybe triple captain, I weight slightly more towards like a really explosive player as opposed to a steady player.
Right.
You know, like you don't want to triple captain someone who's going to get you 8 points or something.
Right.
So Chelsea, we've talked about them a little bit. I'm just running through the list of the double. Let's just focus on the double game week games.
Okay.
Because
Manchester United. Let's talk about them. So you have Anthony Martial. You got 9 points off him. He looked really lively there against Leicester. You must be considering putting the armband on him.
I hadn't even thought about it. I just have no faith in this man.
A lot of air left your body just then.
Yeah, I do not think I'll be captain Anthony Martial. I mean, he looked okay. I mean, did he even have another shot on goal? He actually looked kind of poor in the second half. I mean, he was active, but he didn't do anything.
He was flattered, I think, by the fact that Danny Simpson really didn't know which side of the pitch he was supposed to be defending, and he often found himself in a lot of space.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe even a little lucky in that first goal to kind of skip by a lot of people. And there's no one else we'd consider, right?
Well, I am almost certainly bringing in David De Gea for this game week. And I don't know. I don't like that pick either.
Yeah, I mean, no, just because, I mean, you can see them having a clean sheet in that Norwich game, but not away to West Ham.
It's gonna be okay. That's gonna be West Ham's last game at Upton Park, and it's gonna be a party atmosphere.
All right. Well, you threw me off by not going alphabetically here, so let's go back to Chelsea for a second.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Okay. So Chelsea, I think that Eden Hazard is a very interesting option for the captain. Okay. Three goals in the last two games. I know he came off, or he came on as a sub, but I think that because of that, I think he can certainly play two games in the next week or so. He's
clearly being saved for the Sunderland match.
Right. Exactly. It seems like they're sort of playing for fun at this point, which is they're kind of a dangerous team to play, actually. You know, I think if I'm Sunderland, I don't want to play a Chelsea team that doesn't really – that's very talented and is just kind of like creating chaos. You know, like I'd rather play it – Sunderland was well-served to play Arsenal a couple weeks ago, right? Because Arsenal famously, can't handle pressure at all, you know? And so right. That was a yeah. pressure match for them. They knew they should win that match, and so they did what Arsenal does, which is control the match for, 93% of the game and then somehow, not win, you know? So, but I think
yeah,
that
– Yeah, see Crystal Palace.
I think Chelsea's going to win that Sunderland match, maybe handily. I mean, partially is because I just saw what they did against Bournemouth a couple weeks ago, and I just feel like they don't care. You know, they are a really talented team that, for whatever reason, they're starting to play well together. I mean, you saw a lot of fire in that Spurs game.
Without a doubt. Yeah. They're playing like they're eating at Benny's Burritos or something.
Me too. They're loving every minute of it. So maybe Hazard, maybe Willian. I mean, Willian's probably going to start both game weeks.
I certainly wouldn't laugh at you if you captain Willian.
No, I actually think Willian, now that I say it out loud, he is someone I might think about bringing in and even captaining, because you're probably going to get attacking points from him, you know, and maybe in both of those matches. And in that Liverpool game, there should be some goals too.
Yeah.
So he's an interesting choice. And then he doesn't set you back as much as Hazard. Okay, so Everton, way to Leicester, way to Sunderland. It's hard to have a lot of confidence in any of these Everton players.
Oh, God, I can't believe we're going to talk about Lukaku again.
Okay. Siraj.
Hey, Siraj.
At Siraj underscore G underscore V says, would you advocate playing professional footballer / con man Romelu Lukaku to anyone who still has him? And I actually answered this on Twitter. I was so confident in our unified response that I said the answer is no. There's no chance.
He is a true confidence trickster, that Romelu Lukaku.
It's been a weird season for Everton. I mean, Everton have been – if you can cast your mind back to fall 2015 when all of us were – we're building our teams around bringing in Everton in game week 10 or whatever, because they had this run of
12
weeks in a row. It actually worked out really well. I mean, if you Lukaku scored almost.
Well, he was on eight or nine in a row. He was going to break Jamie Vardy's record moments after he broke it.
Yeah, exactly. And Barkley played really well, and even my most loathed player on my team after Eden Hazard, Gerard Deulofeu. Yeah, they had a few goals and assists in those matches. So yeah, I mean they've been kind of all over the place, but right now they are really in their worst. You know, they don't even have the FA Cup to play for anymore. So any reason to stay fresh? I mean, they're playing
toxic. They're toxic. And exactly. I don't know.
And that's good toxic, that Britney Spears song. That's yeah. good talk. This is bad toxic.
We should put that one on the end of the podcast.
Let me keep going here. I got distracted with all this Jamie Spears talk.
You got Jamie Vardy on the brain.
Liverpool, I don't think you could risk. I guess it depends on what happens in the Europa League.
It's even more than Manchester City. You have to see what happens in the Europa League, because if they lose that tie to Villarreal, then Klopp could just go ahead and put out a consistent lineup for once, and a strong one at that.
Well, if Daniel Sturridge doesn't play in the Europa League match, then I think he's a very interesting captaincy option.
Yes.
Someone definitely to look at.
He was so isolated in that Swansea match. I know I was the only fool this side of the Mississippi that got up early enough to watch the Swansea-Liverpool game, but It was more that midfield was so pieced together. He was getting no service. He looked very frustrated.
Yeah.
But
no Milner, no Firmino. Coutinho subbed off at halftime. Yeah. So
I wouldn't judge him as a fantasy aspect as a fantasy asset based on that Swansea performance.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so maybe Sturridge is the only player I'd look at, though, because I think Coutinho and maybe Coutinho is less of a risk, like you said, if they lose the in the Europa League. But even still, I think that I'd be wary of anyone but Sturridge. And in Sturridge, I would be very wary of if he starts and plays 60 minutes or more in the Europa League, especially if they win.
Yeah, you just have to gauge how much juice has been squeezed out of him during that Villarreal match.
We talked about Man United already. That brings us to Norwich, the team I want to talk about most. Because I think...
Dio Mercy Mobokani.
I think if you're looking for a differential triple captain, quadruple captain, if you've still got your button, I played mine
in week one, buddy.
I would go... I still have mine, and I'm planning to quadruple captain Dio Mercy Mobokani in game week 37.
Power move right there.
So if you remember the last double game week, Dio Mercy Mobokani scored 8 goals, and I was foolish enough not to bring him in.
Can I do the math on that? 8 times 4 is 32 times 4. Wait.
Right. No. Yeah, two starts. Am I 36. Doing that right?
Yeah, about I think a million points.
45. Yeah, I think it'd be 100 and I don't know, 135 or something like that. it could happen. Well. I think that there is a question. Excuse me, Brandon. I've gotta work on my running order here. I shouldn't have talked about how smooth my running order was because
now. Yeah, you're clearly trying to paper over the cracks.
Andy Duna on Twitter said, is Redmond a viable double game week option? Nathan Redmond, and I think he is actually. I have had occasion to watch. I've seen maybe the last 3 Norwich matches.
Yeah, you're only watching the Norwich matches lately because your captain is probably playing against them.
Yeah, true. But he, I thought he looked very good in the Arsenal match. I thought he had a pretty good chance of scoring in that match. He's very cheap, so if you need a cheap player, he's an interesting option.
The issue with Redmond though is his rotation has been very scattered of late. So he played the full 90 against Arsenal, but prior to that, he just played one half against Sunderland, and then prior to that, 15 minutes, 16 minutes, minutes. So was he coming back from some sort of injury?
I'm not sure, but I do think he looked really good in the match. So I think that might be. I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm actually surprised he only has 5 goals and 2 assists in the season.
Well, that's the thing is the goals he scores are all worldies. So, you know, you don't score those every game.
Yeah, that's true. I think Redmond's an interesting option. I don't plan on bringing him in myself, but I think, I don't know. I mean,
how about this? Maybe Robbie Brady, because Robbie Brady is a set piece taker for them. I think he does take penalties for them on occasion, and he is a rather consistent fixture.
Yeah, I think I'd still take the risk and go with Redmond instead. I think there's a better chance of him. Yeah. I think Redmond will play something like the full 90 in both matches. I would not go with Houlihan, despite being the highest scoring midfielder on that team, because I believe Houlihan is either 34 or 35, and I just can't see him playing both matches in a double game.
That is straight ageism right there.
But that I think Alex Neil, the manager, has said as much early in the season that he has to manage his minutes. If you look at the minutes played for him, there's a bunch of zeros thrown in there. So I don't think he'll be playing. Okay, let's keep going here. Do we have anyone left? Oh yeah, we do. We've got a couple still.
Yeah, big ones.
Yeah, so Sunderland. Jermaine Defoe is the only player we're talking about here in terms of captaincy, triple captaincy options.
Yeah,
I think that would be a risk worth taking. He's definitely a bit of a differential, right? I think a lot of people are going to be going with one of the West Ham players, and so I think that if I were in first place. I'm going Dimitri Payet, and that's it. That's okay. The easiest decision, I think.
In terms of captaining?
In terms of who I'm captaining this game week.
Yeah.
If I am in second place and maybe I'm like 25, 30 points behind, mm-hmm. I think that I'm looking at Daniel Sturridge or Jermaine Defoe as my captain choice. I think Defoe will score maybe a couple of goals in these two matches. I could definitely see him scoring in that Everton match. Could see him scoring in that Chelsea match too. They have a ton to play for. I mean, he fought till the end in that last match, right? I mean, he won a penalty. The game was almost over. So I think that he's an interesting out. What do you think about Defoe?
Well, I mentioned this last week, and my only worry about Defoe is he's not explosive. You're talking about the captaincy. Do you want to put the armband on somebody who at most is going to get you 8 or 9 points? Defoe is that guy. While he'll probably score a goal during the next two matches, I really can't see him scoring more than one, maybe two goals.
All right, so I'll put you in this position that if you were in second place in your league, 25, 30 points behind, far enough behind that you can't make the conventional captain choice.
Yeah.
Who would you captain this game week?
So I do like the Daniel Sturridge shout, but I need more information. But beyond that, I actually like Troy Deeney or Andy Carroll. Now, can I have Andy Carroll if you're talking – you're in first place, you're captaining Payet. Do I have the option to captain Carroll? Is that a differential enough for you?
I think so. I mean, there are enough players in that West Ham team that could get an assist for Carroll that and I don't think that it's a one-to-one sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm getting ahead of you here talking about Watford players, but
no, it's all right.
I don't want to be too colored by that Aston Villa result because Watford, you know, they left it till the last minute against the most garbage team in the entire league. So I don't want to be too high on these two goals that Troy Deeney scored.
They were good open play goals though. I mean, they weren't penalties. I mean, they were both pretty well taken.
Two striker goals, proper striker goals.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing to me that, by the way, that he's actually catching up to Agallo. I mean, it took all season. He's I don't think he can quite pull it off. Agallo's on 165 points and Deeney's on 147, but he really got there at the end.
I mean, he's been their only scorer, apart from Ben Watson.
Yeah, 11 goals and 8 assists in the season is pretty solid for a 5.3 million striker.
Yep, classic talisman performance. I think if I had to choose, I'm looking at Deeney or Andy Carroll for differential captains.
Okay, I like both of those, with Daniel Sturridge being the more expensive option if he doesn't play in the Europa League.
Yeah, and I'm just still a little too shy about Defoe. And Defoe, Big Sam gave an interesting comment in the post-match interview after they played, who is it that they tied over the weekend? Oh, Stoke. So Big Sam, he was asked how he felt about Jermaine Defoe and his goal scoring, and Big Sam said, it's great, but we need other players on this team to do that. Yeah. He is the only one doing anything for us in front of goal. And you could see he's really frustrated about Sunderland's inability to produce offense, and I take that to heart. They're not a good team.
Okay, what about if you're 60 points behind in your mini league? Who do you captain?
I quadruple captain Dario Mercy Mobicani as any normal person would.
I think if I were like 50 or 60 points behind, I would go with Diego Costa or Eden Hazard as like a complete, like, no one's going to have them. Yeah. You know, I mean, I know Costa hasn't done anything. So maybe Hazard is the slightly better choice here. But I mean, Hazard could pick up like, I mean, we've seen these Hazard runs in the past, right? I mean, I'm not saying that he's back to what he was before, but it's not like he like turned into Yaya Toure and he's 35, right? He's like 22 years old or something. Uh-huh. So, I mean, you know, you could see him go on like pick up 25 points or something in this double game week.
Yeah.
So I think that would be my like super, I need like every, and then you just have to like pray, right? You just have to hope that De Gea has an amazing match away to West Ham and they don't score there. And that, you know, Swansea, that Ashley Williams has a great performance at, you know, on the road at West Ham. And you know, like you get a 4 from Payet and you get a 25 from Hazard, and that could make up like 40 points that way.
Yeah. Okay. The 40 to 60 point bracket. I want to. If we're going back, if we have that big of a gap, you also have to put Lukaku, the treasure troll Romelu Lukaku in that bracket, because though he's been an absolute nightmare recently, he could do it. He could do it for you. He has the same odds as I think of Costa putting up those kinds of numbers.
There's definitely a little bit of concern. You have less of a concern than I do about this. We were talking about this before we recorded the podcast. I am a little concerned about there being a little bit of a letdown for Leicester this weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll be excited, but like they're going to be getting the trophy at the beginning of the match. Like they could lose both these matches and they'll still be the greatest, you know, win in the history of football, you know? So yes. they don't have a lot to play for other than pride, which they have. And I don't think that they're going to lose 4-0 to Everton by any stretch, but it could be like a 3-3 game, you know? I mean, it could be like a totally wide open game.
Yeah, I agree with you.
No reason to grind out a 1-0 win at this point.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed because I was really itching to bring Jamie Vardy in for this Everton game, but
I still think he's a good option. I mean, if it weren't for the double game weeks, I think he'd be a really good option.
Yeah, I agree. If it weren't the double game weeks, because I'm not well stocked in double game week players at the moment. Let's see, I only have two right now. Actually, I have Lingard and Fosu Mensah. I'm not sure if they qualify or not.
Hey, Lingard looked pretty good.
Oh, God. He looked terrible. That breakaway where he surely should have at least drawn a red card from Danny Simpson. He couldn't even do that.
I thought Simpson played him pretty well, like, as well as he could have. He recovered.
Well, I think Simpson played it perfectly and admirably, but the fact that Lingard wasn't able to make more of the challenge, but to actually put himself in a better position between Simpson and the ball and all that. Anyway,
it's a very weird Man U team. I saw they gave out the rewards for your top under 18 player today, and that uh-huh. went to Rashford, and then it was top under 21 player, and it went to Fosu Mensah, and I think Lingard's like 20 or 20. It's like they are bringing in the young players. You know, it just who knows if they'll last. I mean, it's if they'll just get utterly supplanted by will Man U be like the Man U of old? I mean, this is totally off the fantasy thing, but or will they just turn into Real Madrid and every year they're just going to buy Mario Götze is an option.
Yeah. No, who's the next Bastian Schweinsteiger?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, that's what they can't do anymore, right? Is take a 33-year-old central midfielder.
They basically became an MLS club this year, like bringing in these over the hill superstars.
So I don't want to totally disrespect Payet here, but Payet is just so obviously the right captaincy choice to make this weekend that it's almost not really worth debating. He'll start both matches. He's going to have some attacking points. Reasonable chance I'll bring him in just because I don't want to risk not have. I don't know. Maybe I won't. I mean, I might just say screw it and just I've already got I've got Lanzini. Maybe it's Lanzini's week. Who knows?
You got to have faith, Josh.
Yeah, so we'll see. Okay, so let's get we actually answered some of these already, but let's jump right into the Facebook and Twitter questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Yeah, let's do this.
All right. Fat Gorilla says, who is more dumpable now, Leicester or Spurs players? I don't know if he means dumpable, like kick out of bed,
You done me dirty. Get out of bed. You're no good.
If you had to take hits for double game wiggers, who would you be bringing in? I think we talked about this already, although it does get to a question that I was thinking in my head in the lead up to this because of Razzy Boy, who's another guy on Twitter, sent us a direct message and he was contemplating a -30. To bring in players this week, and I told him I was thinking about a -8, and that was about as much as I could stomach. I don't know that I know that there is an argument made for doing -12s and whatever, but -8 is like as much as I can like physically stand. You know, like what's your limit? How many points would you burn?
-12 is probably just by law my limit, but it would have to be an extreme situation for me to burn -12. Absolutely would have to be a double game week.
People lose their minds.
They do.
There are certain players like Aguero and Sanchez that you have to have, but beyond that, it's just usually not worth it. I mean, we saw it with Dele Alli.
Yeah. What I would say to Razzie Boy, though, and I also say this to you, Josh, is it's okay to burn 30 points if maybe you're just trying to see how well you can do in that particular game week. Maybe you're not competing against anybody. And
it's, yeah, but if you put it that way, then that's not even like...
It becomes an existential argument.
Yeah, exactly. Plato's cave of game week 37. That's the best.
If a team scores the highest points but has a negative 30, does it score those points?
So who would I, this question is certainly relevant to me too, because I mean, who am I thinking about burning points to bring in? Well, a lot of players we talked about already, I would definitely look at burning points to bring in a Chelsea player. I want a little Chelsea coverage for their double game week.
Yeah.
I think that Man U I'm probably going to avoid. I already have Anthony Marshall. That's enough. Uh-huh. Everton I'm planning to avoid. Norwich I'm going to avoid. Sunderland, definitely looking at Jermaine Defoe pretty strongly. And yeah. And then possibly Payet and possibly one of the West Ham or one of the Watford strikers.
Yeah.
Maybe a Gallo just for the differential.
But you're ignoring the other half of this question, which I find even more interesting, is to get these, your burning points, who are you getting rid of? And if you're looking at either a Leicester player or a Spurs player, who would you more readily drop from your team?
Right. Well, I think that...
If you had to choose between Harry Kane or Riyad Mahrez.
I would drop Mahrez. Mostly because I would look at it as the 37 and 38. Mm-hmm. Kane is home to Southampton and away to Newcastle. I mean, at this point, Harry Kane is, this guy's scoring everywhere, in every fixture. I know he didn't score last week, but even a great striker doesn't score. I mean, he's really having a spectacular season. I mean, it's kind of amazing because,
yeah.
I mean, it was like 5 or 6 game weeks into the season. I don't think he'd done anything. He didn't even have an assist. And now he's unquestionably up there with Aguero. And
if Spurs were competing for the title, the entire narrative would be how Harry Kane has repeated, if not exceeded, the success that he had last season.
It's a pretty good the race for the Golden Boot. I think he might be 2 goals ahead of Aguero and 3 ahead of Vardy. Mm-hmm. So probably got that sewn up, I would think. I don't know. Hard to say.
No, it's as tight as that relegation race, I'd say.
I don't know that I see Man City doing that much at home to Arsenal. I'm definitely Sergio Aguero is probably the player who's going to go for me this game week. Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous thing to do, I realize, but I need to free up some cash. Mm-hmm. And his price, as we all know, is completely outrageous. If I move from Aguero to Andy Carroll, I free up like 8 million, and it makes a huge difference. So
here's the harder question to answer. If you're looking at Leicester defenders or Spurs defenders, which I think we all have one or the other, who are you dropping between them?
I would be more likely to drop a Spurs defender than a Leicester defender.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough one. I was thinking about the reason for dropping a Spurs defender is that Spurs defenders are more expensive, uh-huh. and you can stretch that money further. So yeah. you can bring in Azpilicueta or something like that, but Danny Simpson is what, 4.1 million. So am I going to find another 4 million striker that's going to do as well as him in this double game week? Probably not. I certainly wouldn't bring in a Norwich defender.
I think that logic is pretty sound. It's the value. So keep your Leicester defender.
Yeah. Andy Duna says, thoughts on Leicester starting 11 in game week 38 if they have won the league by then? This came in before the game today. I guess this sort of gets to what you were saying a minute ago. I mean, it's a small squad, and the kind of players that people own are not the kind of players who are going to get subbed out in game week 37 or game week 38, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no, you're not putting Mahrez or Vardy on the bench in game week 38. You're not putting Christian Fuchs. Danny Drinkwater will be back. He'll be playing. Huth will definitely play. Schmeichel will play. I just can't imagine any of the players that are owned in the fantasy game would be subbed for this game week.
And it it doesn't really matter anyway. I feel like the rules of what, how many minutes you have to play to get a winner's medal, like we're already past that point. It's not like them playing in one game is going to qualify them,
right? For because a it's such a small squad that they've rotated very little the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Damari Gray would get a start just out of deference to the shifts he's put in late in games. But I agree. He then rotates with a guy like Mark Albrighton, who everybody's already jumped ship on.
I have this little thing where I really want Leicester to win. And they're I mean, I want them to win just because I like this team and I want them to continue to do well. But if they win at home to Everton, then they finish with 80 points. Uh-huh. Assuming they lose to Chelsea, I know they could win that match too. But 80 points is what Man U won the league with, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. Cesc Fabregas last year for Arsenal, and it would just kind of like stop some of the arguments about how down all the teams have been this year. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, you know, when Man U won 5 years ago, I mean, people did talk about it being a weak league, but it wasn't this like weakest league of all time. You know, it was. I mean, some people really want to trash this Leicester thing and be like, oh, well, there was luck, you know, they rode luck. Well, of course they did. You know, we talked about this on the podcast before, but you
it's
know.
Ridiculous. The league is amazing this year. I mean, look at how well Premier League clubs are doing better than ever in Europe, which may actually contribute to them not performing as well domestically. But the players, the managers, the talent, the broadcast money, it's all there. What a league, Josh.
The sponsorships, yeah, the brand
building.
I'm just
loving the sponsorships this year. Yokohama tires, I'm getting them for my car tomorrow.
Okay, so Singha beer, we drink a lot of that.
Oh, every day.
Every day. Okay, so we have two questions left here. Dave from Burnley says, pick one Liverpool and one Chelsea attacking player to start both games next week. Go. Sturridge, Willian.
Yeah, Willian definitely for Chelsea, and likely Milner, for all the talk going into the former doubles of Milner being undroppable. He's seen as much rotation as everybody else.
Yeah, he has. I think he looks like, you look at him and you're like, oh, that guy's built like a dump truck. Like, that guy can play every game.
Guy's head is literally square. It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we agree on those. So you're not.
By the way, it's amazing that you couldn't even cite Simon Mignolet as one of those players. Like the Mignolet. Rotation of goalkeepers.
I couldn't believe they rotated. They rotated him twice. All he does is stand there. I mean, I know he sucks, but still, it was amazing that he play. he's going to wear himself out standing still for 90 minutes.
I mean, when he comes out to make his howlers, it does take a lot out of him. Like, he's jumping and punching into thin air. It's very
that's
fatiguing.
True. He's a great shot stopper, but he has absolutely no command in the box. Like, the guy maybe he's got like a voice that you can't yell at his defenders. You know,
I wonder if he had his tongue cut out when he was a young boy.
Oh, on a ship,
at a very
maybe.
Strict yeah. Catholic school. Yeah.
Arnab Roy, last question of the game week, last question of the podcast. Not ever. We have two podcasts to go, right, Brandon? We're going to do one before game week 38.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do another little poll, I think. And then
like a victory lap of sorts to end the close out the season.
A little season wrap up. It won't be as long as these normal podcasts are, but just a little season wrap. Okay. So Arnab Roy says, what's the optimum number of double game weeks according to you guys for game week 37? And do mention my name in the podcast if you pick this question. Wink emoticon.
Arnab Roy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you take this one then, because you've got somewhere between 2 and 4.
I have somewhere between 2 and 4. That's exactly right. I don't know. I don't think there's too many.
Too many is, you know, I mean, how many points do you want to burn to bring in double game weekers?
Yeah. Okay. So say if you assume that Lingard starts both games and assume that Fosu Mensah doesn't play at all, then I have.
I don't know that I would assume that, though.
Yeah. He'll probably get minutes. I mean, you've seen Darmian still get rotated after him putting in some marginally decent performances. And Rojo looked like complete crap against Leicester. So Okay, so assume I have four. I'm probably going to burn a maximum 4 points. So I think I'll be plenty happy to have six double game weekers. The issue is, it's at the tail end of the season, and unless you're really banking on relegation teams, all these teams, they're low on gas. They're not terribly inspired. They could put out any type of performance. It's hard to predict.
So it is hard to predict. You get this far into the season. It's some teams are on the beach. I mean, this is why I'm glad that I played the triple captain in game week 34.
Yes. Yeah,
it was just a little safer, you know, just in terms of.
We haven't even talked about the fact that we're both presumably playing our bench boost in game week 37.
Yeah, I got very unlucky this weekend. Neither of my keepers started. I didn't. When did they reveal the Robles thing? I guess it wouldn't have made a difference.
It was early Friday afternoon, East Coast Standard Time, where Everton effectively officially tweeted the starting goalkeeper situation.
Right. And so that Robles is going to start the away matches and Howard's going to start the home matches, right?
Yes, exactly. So you should by that, you should be okay with Robles for game week 37.
Right, because he has two away fixtures, so we'll see. And Mignolet, like, who knows? I did not play my rotation as well as I should have. I mean, it was always a little bit of a punt bringing in Mignolet, but I regret it. Oh, I mean, especially because I could have had Darlow, who is way cheaper. You know,
15 pointer.
Epic. I know. So
how about for you? How many?
Oh yeah, okay. So for me, right. So yeah, assuming that all of my double game weekers play, which I think is a pretty strong possibility, Firmino maybe is a little bit of a risk, but I because he didn't play on Saturday, I think it's a little. I feel a little safer about him. I currently have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 6, and I'm considering burning 8 points to bring in 9. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely going a little further, little further out than you. I might end up just burning four points, just making 2 hits. That's kind of. The you know, I don't know who I transfer out in order to. I don't want to transfer out Kane. I've kind of resigned myself to taking out Aguero. So you know, take out Aguero, bring in a different striker, double game week striker. Yeah. And then I can turn Josh, like, so if I turn Aguero into Jermaine Defoe, let's say, which I'm not sure I'm going to do, but Defoe or Andy Carroll, you know, to be determined. I could turn Josh King into. Hazard or Payet or somebody else, and then it's just a matter of whether that's enough for me to. Because I would have, I'll have two Arsenal defenders away to Man City, which I don't feel great about. Gabriel now is probably a pretty solid option because Mertesacker has a, you know, his hammy issue. But still, I mean, what are the odds that Arsenal keeps a clean sheet away to Man City? Not very good, I would think.
No, I'm not liking those odds either. That's why I'm dumping Peter Cech to bring in De Gea.
Yeah, so I think somewhere between, I don't know, you know.
I think, like,
have,
if you
– they have 4 or 5 at least, you know. Yeah.
If you not, have
– 6 or 7.
If you have a wild card, man, just go for it. Get 15 of them.
It would have taken incredible self-control to wait to wild card until game week 37.
Yeah.
Or 36 or whatever. And I actually don't think it would have worked out. I mean, I needed to play my wild card as soon as possible. I still wish there had been a double game week in week like 25 or something.
Yeah,
where I could have wild carded because I ended up waiting. I kind of bought into the group. I mean, it worked out okay, but I just sort of bought into the group think that I had to wait to wild card until the double game and, you know, until the triple captain double game weeks of 34 and 37. And I think I would have been better served just wild carding early. You know, getting rid of a lot of the. You know, crap on my bench my team. Just building it new, not letting my team value slide as far as it had. So you know, something to think about for next year.
Yeah, I made a few really bad calls with my wild card, and I'm just not set up for the double game weeks here. And they came too fast after game week 34. There's not been enough time for me to optimize.
Yeah, and I didn't. I mean, I got a little unlucky with the Sacco thing, but more importantly, I just didn't. I didn't take into account just how much rotation there'd be in Liverpool. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen rotation like this before. I mean, I can't remember in any of the double game weeks. Can you remember this level of rotation? I don't know. Maybe it's just the way it worked out.
We were joking on Twitter that Klopp was probably just trying to sandbag FPL managers that are in his personal mini league.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that's it. Good luck, everyone, this weekend. It's kind of it's a very tricky game week. I like a tricky game week, though. I think this one's pretty exciting. I think it's really up in the air who you should captain. It's really up in the air who you should transfer in. Hopefully we'll see, you know, scores kind of all over the range like we did in game week 34. You know, it's always kind of fun when you have a player who can, score anywhere between 60 points and 160. And, yeah. I don't think we'll see it that level of extremity, but it should be a pretty wide range of scores this game week.
It should be a fun one. And I'm feeling a little bit of lightness now that the whole title has been decided. We can push that aside and, some double game weeks. It's going to be a fun game week. And this is like the last gasp. Game week 38 is probably going to be a throwaway.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Granite. Well, nice talking to you.
Yeah, we need to talk about where people can stay in touch with Always Cheating. We're on the verge of a summer vacation, so we want to make sure everybody knows how to stay
I feel like I'm a little on the beach already.
You're already on the beach.
You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. You can follow us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/alwayscheating. And I think that covers us.
It does. Poku forever, Josh. Good luck.
Yeah, hail cheaters. Good luck this weekend.